16 Minutes of Care is a podcast based on the CARE principles, a strategic framework that reveals how brands create impact by caring and, as a result, grow their business. In each episode, Isabel welcomes a company executive who explains how CARE has helped their business grow successfully and sustainably.
Hi everyone, I'm very pleased to welcome Runa Sabru in my podcast. Runa is the Director of Development at Wonderful Copenhagen, that is the official tourist organization of the capital. She sets the strategic direction for the development department and works to promote and develop both business and leisure tourism. Welcome, Runa.
Thank you.
Very happy to have you here because I've written a chapter in my book about the city of Copenhagen, because it's the first capital already back in 2005, if I remember it correctly, that said they would become the first carbon neutral capital of the world by 2025. That's in 2 years. What is the situation today? I'm very curious.
The situation is that the capital of the city of Copenhagen is still really ambitious, also when it comes to carbon neutrality and sustainability in general. But the mayor was out also in the media and the press, I think almost a year ago, saying we will not meet the expectations, but this does not mean that it's not relevant, that we're not ambitious, and we still have the target of becoming carbon neutral. The deadline will be passed, but it's still a goal.
It's still the goal.
Yeah.
But it's a real example of how difficult and how complex it is to become carbon neutral, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not that easy. Let's move straight into the tourism part. Tourism, sustainability, can you really marry both?
We're trying to. And I think also what we really need is the city and the municipality to be ambitious together with us. Because if you're critical, you could say no, it's not possible. You have some, when you travel, you spend some more. You also move from A to B, meaning that transportation in itself is difficult. But even though it's not sustainable yet, I think the ambitions of making travel sustainable is even more important. So what we try to do is that we use these really, really ambitious statement from the city, and we also use our close collaboration with the industry and the business cultural institutions to move this development forward.
Mm-hmm. Already back in 2018, you launched a sustainable strategy for tourism, and in 2020 there was within the industry quite the rumor of one of the documents that the department has written, and it was called The End of Tourism. Can you explain a little bit what that was about and what the vision is behind that?
Mm. I think even back in 2017, when we launched our first a strategy called Localhood and the End of Tourism, that was where we started the movement of saying we want to attract people to the capital. We also want them to come and explore the main attractions, to doing something completely different.
And the main attractions, that is no longer, for instance, the Little Mermaid.
Yeah, I mean, it is for some of the visitors, and they can go and see the Little Mermaid, but it's years ago we decided that we would not attract and promote the main attractions, and even now we have moved further and say we will not promote the main season, the summer, so that it's a different way of seeing tourism. And the main goal is that that people come here and they explore the society, the city, the vibe, the atmosphere of the city, and not only go here in big groups and see the main attractions. So, and that's a big, big shift. So that's what we meant, kind of put it into a slogan, the end of tourism as we know it. It's going to be different. It's going to be exploring the city, and also on not as... I mean, the local people should not be like statistics or something that you just run by, they should be kind of part of the main attraction, the daily life.
Yes. So actually what you try to promote for tourism is, as a tourist, as a visitor, you become a little bit part of Copenhagen city, how the locals live, where they eat, how they bike, for instance, a lot. Is it working? Are travelers doing that today?
I think it was... Yeah, they do. But it was also one of the main strength of Copenhagen, even before, that you want to come and explore the city and the society. We also actually had like a headline in one of our strategic document called From Sightseeing Towards Society Seeing. So that's also kind of a way of explaining that you want to people to stay longer and also to be more curious about the culture that they're visiting, and also to get more in connection with locals, because that's really what, when you get into the core of tourism, that's really what it is about, to have cultural exchange between the people that are living in the city and the people that come here. So yeah, it is working, because it was there already. I mean, we do not have these huge sites, but we do have the atmosphere and the society that people come to visit.
But in order to make such a strategy, because you can make that and you can develop that as a tourist department, but you need to collaborate with the locals, because yeah, they became the main attraction. How were the locals reacting to that?
I think most of locals kind of, it's difficult to say like in one sentence, but if you're local and you have the feeling that the place that you're living is actually some place that people come and visit, you can also be proud. That's and true. And look at your own, reflect on your own local area with new eyes, because you start to see it with the international or the guests' point of view. But one of the things that we actually did, just to give an example of how it worked. Last year we had Tour de France in Copenhagen. This meant that we had a lot of people that were really interested in biking and also on professional level coming and visiting the city. So what we did was that we made a concept called Ride with the Local, where you found a shared passion from the people coming to visit and the people living in the city. We had local bike clubs that invited the international guests to come for a ride. So then it was to, the core of it was to share something that you care for, a passion that you have, with the people that come visit. So it's an example of how you can kind of give it a name and work with a shared passion.
It's great. It's a great example. It's almost like it's not even a collaboration. It's a co-creation, I would say, from these things. That's really lovely. I would like to move a little bit back to the care for the planet part, to the sustainable part. As you said, tourism will probably never ever be 100% sustainable, but you are trying to make it as sustainable as possible. Could you give some concrete examples of how you educate travelers, or what do you do for us when we visit the city to be as sustainable as possible?
We have actually done kind of the same as the city of Copenhagen. We have stated a really clear and ambitious goal. So there's an index called GDS Index, Global Destination Sustainability Index. We have claimed that we want to be number one capital in the world on this index. And we have said it to the municipality, we have said it to the collaborators, so we have like an end goal of where we're heading. And this really requires a lot for us and also for the industry and the partners. So to give you an example of how we can climb up that the index, yes. There's a lot of certification of hotels and venues, and we have a program where we help bigger hotels, smaller hotels, bigger venues, even historical buildings to gain these green certification, because it's kind of then you have like a landmark of what you're doing, and you also have kind of, we help them to make it clear what is it that they take from you if you want to have this certificate.
And I guess when you talk about hotels, it's about energy, it's about waste, it's about all of those kind of things that they need to take into consideration.
Yeah, it is. It's weight. It's also if you reuse the water, what kind of energy you use, and it really depends on who you are. That if you're a historical building, it can be that the building is not very tight, so that you have a really high amount of energy that you have to. So it's kind of, you start to have a kind of diagnostic of what would be the right thing for you as an organization to do to climb up.
And so if hotels, they make these steps to become greener and more ecological, they get the certificate and then you promote them within the program, I suppose. So yeah, it's a kind of a push for the whole industry to become more ecological.
And it's also, if we should be number one on this index, is an example of that we should have a high percentage of the collaborators that have the certificate. So we're kind of getting the pressure of the collaboration, but it's really what we sense is that the industry are also ready for it. They know that it they cannot not be part of the sustainable development. So yeah, it is a push, but it's also like a shared goal.
Who are you competing against? Who is in the top three?
It's Gothenburg.
Gothenburg,
okay. It's actually number one.
And
Bergen is number two, and we're number three.
All Nordics.
And the thing is, if you sense who's number one and two, these are smaller cities, and so it's easier, if talking about collaboration, to have a united vision with the municipality, with all the industries, that they have to back this index. So it's more complex if you're a bigger city than
imagine.
We are.
Yes.
But it's really fragile, because we're saying it all the time, we have to be number one capital, but it's also working as an ambition that drive the movement forward.
Yeah, totally. I guess from hearing from you, so the ambition is set by the city, is set by the Department of Tourism. Is the demand already coming from travelers, from consumers?
And we sense that there is some kind of more young people are pushing more for having a sustainable also transportation, a sustainable experience. So it's a kind of, we sense that the future tourists are actually demanding it more and more to come to a destination and can do something good while they're here. So it's actually we are asking the people that are coming here, how important is sustainability for you? Did it meet your expectations? And we're seeing that it's rising these years.
That it's rising.
Yeah. And we want to help it to rise, because you can also say, oh, there's a lot of people who don't really care. Yeah, but it's our responsibility to make it more clear. What is sustainable travel? How do you have a sustainable experience? And how do you actually give something back to the destination instead of taking something?
Only taking, yeah. Totally. You also have this tourism for good ambition. Can you concretely go into that and give some examples? What does it mean?
It's our sustainable strategy, and we have actually backed it up with a manifesto called Planet Copenhagen Manifesto. And that is has five ambitions, going all the way around people, being sustainable for locals, also a green ambition, an ambition for the business. So we have like five overall ambitions in this manifesto. And we have actually made, and it's made together with the industry, and we have made 70 different industry partners signed this manifesto as followers, and that was a process that we started 1.5 years ago, And it was very important to start this as a movement and also start this as a shared goal together with the industry. And on purpose, we started together one of the industry partners that were most ambitious, the hotels that had most certificates, etc., so that the others could look at them and say, "Hey, we want to be part of this. We want to follow this this movement." So we.
So it's really about leadership. It's about taking the lead and others trying to convince others to follow.
Yeah.
What are the big challenges you see ahead of you?
The big challenges when it comes to the manifesto is that we have we have more and more people signing up, and we have said to them, "It's okay, but you have to." Both develop and share an action plan that are backing these five ambitions. We have a deadline in 2 weeks. So now it's kind of all about making this movement, taking leadership, and now the tough part is coming. So right now we only have about 60% that have uploaded the action plan.
So because it has to be true, there has to be really proof of what they do. So
yeah, and they have to be extremely concrete. For me, this means I will do X, Y, Z.
Yeah.
So that's one of the difficult parts, to be ambitious, to have some of the industry to follow us, and then also to push back and say, okay, now it has to be. Be complete, yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Let's end with that. We have a second episode coming up. I'll dive a little bit more into the CARE principles because you're such a collaborative organization. But that's for the second episode. Thank you so much, Varuna, for being here. For the people at home, thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. And take care.
Want to create lasting impact with your brand while feeding sustainable growth? Check out thecareprinciples.com and see how we can help you. 16 Minutes of Care is an independent production from Isabel Verstraeten, brand strategist, founder of The Care Principles, and author of the book, Does Your Brand Care? Help us reach more companies who are looking for caring and sustainable growth by giving this podcast all the stars it deserves and by sharing it in your network. Thank you and take care.